And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by one of my several Power Ranger co-hosts, this time around, the Yellow Ranger himself, Mr. Brian Massey.
What's going on, everybody?
And of course, Brian, you get the Sentai side of things, correct? Unlike in Power Rangers, where in the Sentai for Geo Ranger, the Yellow Ranger is a guy.
Yep. It's a boy named Boy. Go figure.
Yeah. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know that this episode was pre-recorded beforehand, and we actually had to redo the intros and the outros. So if it's a little disjointed, we do apologize. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. So we're going to get right to it with something fishy, with everyone's favorite segment in my mind, which is the quick run through. And we start off at Angel Girl High School, and we see Jack, Trini, and Zach are talking about going scuba diving, to which then Bulk is interjecting and his locker explodes upon opening. Skull caught Bulk in his net, and Billy and Kim plan to go to the park instead of scuba diving. Rita and Goldar hatch a plan for the goo fish at the harbor. Jason, Trini, and Zach check their equipment and they go scuba diving. It's so nice that they actually went out of their way to go through all of the equipment to make sure everything was properly working. Good job, Power Rangers. Good job. And at the park, we see Kim brought fish and chips for lunch, to which then enter a flashback of Kid Billy being bit by a fish. Womp womp. Bulk and Skull are catching a whole bunch of junk, like even a no fishing sign. Rita needs to keep Kim and Billy away from the beach, so they insert the putties and Kim trying to contact the others, but, well, they're underwater. Screw you, Kim. Billy getting more confident with his fighting. Good on you, Billy. Billy and Kim go to the command center. They're briefed by Zordon, then morph into action. Generic scuba diving shots. Rita casts the spell on Billy to make him fear the goofish. Zordon contacts the others, and they morph into action. The goofish retreats. Goldar plans to draw out the Megazord. At the command center, Zordon explains the spell and how it can be broken. They morph back into action and putty fight. The goofish immobilizes Jason, Trini, and Zach, then assaults Kim and the others while Billy cowers. But Billy overcomes and attacks the goofish. Rita makes goofish grow, and the Rangers call upon their Zords. They form the Megazord, and they go to battle. Goofish giving them a licking, and then immobilizes their feet. Zach has an idea, and it works. Then they summon the Power Sword for the finisher. And then at the juice bar, Billy and Ernie show up with a batch of fish and a lobster. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was something fishy. So, Brian, notes, my good man, notes.
Absolutely. So, this is obviously Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Episode 43. The original air date was February 9th, 1994. I did pull up some notes here. It looks as though this was the very first episode to make use of Zeo Ranger 2 footage, which is additional footage that was commissioned by Saban before they began producing it more commonly over in California, which is what you see a lot in Season 3. You see a lot of that in Season 3. The episode title was used again is Episode 4 of Power Rangers Super Samurai. Something's fishy, so don't get them confused if you're looking them up on IMDb, I guess. The goofish reappears in Season 2, Episode, A Real Fish Story.
Yeah, we'll get to Season 2 when we get there.
Well,
you said we're Episode 43 out of 60. We're getting there, man. We're getting there. Yeah.
So Bulk, okay, just as a little bit of like a nerd thing here. So Bulk gets bit on the nose by what is a live lobster, which is obviously a rubber prop in this show. But the lobster is red that they use. And lobsters are typically never that color until they're cooked, just so you know. And for some weird reason, all these episodes, and I actually, this was a bit of a problem when I was trying to get these notes done. Thankfully, I own the DVD. These episodes are not on Netflix. None of these episodes are on Netflix. I don't know what's up with that.
Well, they might have pulled stuff at the beginning of the month like they always do, because they're always pulling and adding.
Fair, but it's literally listed as season one and then season two, but it stops right before, I think, episode 31. And
maybe
so
it could just be the reversioned.
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Is maybe it's just the reversioned season that they did. Yeah. So
it could have been. I don't know. I hope. I'm just happy that I had the DVDs handy, because this episode would not have happened if I didn't have the DVDs.
Let's put it in perspective like this. This is why you always get physical media. You never know when something's going to get pulled, because here's the thing. Just because you have it downloaded in your Vudu or your My Movies Anywhere, if you read the fine print, they can pull it from your collection at any time, even if you paid for it. So always get physical media.
That happened to me a lot with Xbox too back in the day. So right at the beginning of the episode, when the five, when the gang mentions that they're gonna go scuba diving, all of a sudden Hulk and Skull show up with that fishing gear, right? And I really have to wonder, it's like, is there just some kind of weird like magic thing that happens whenever they mention that there's any activity going on? Because I swear to God, if they mentioned, hey, we're gonna go to a WWF show or something back then, they're probably gonna just show up in like wrestling tights going, yeah, I'm the champion now, and then they'll just fumble around and, like, I don't know, Skull get thrown into a locker or something. This just always seems to happen, and I guess maybe it's lazy writing, I don't know, but it happens so much.
I mean, when you have to include commercial breaks and you only get about 18 to 20 minutes an episode, certain things are going to get cut out.
The narrative has to be literally driven to a certain way, sure.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So I did take, I did kind of pay attention to what was falling out of Bulk's locker when all that happened. And it looks as though somehow, some way, he managed to put in a picnic basket, a bucket, a dinosaur, bananas, and the dinosaur was a blow-up dinosaur, by the way. I never had a locker that big in high school at all.
I had one that was as tall as me in high school.
And you had one of the
long ones.
You had one of the tall boys. Okay.
Yeah, I had one of the tall boys in high school. But the funny thing was, is that, like, what they have in Angel Grove High, that's what you had in middle school. Correction. When I went to middle school, I had the tall boy too.
Really?
Yeah, I had the tall boy both in middle school and high school.
When I was going to high school, we had the divided one, so we didn't have the tall boys. We had like a top section or a bottom section, and I always made sure to get a top section, because if you're on that bottom section, it's like, it's so much more of a struggle to get your stuff out. And you really expect me to put my picnic basket on the lower level? Are you kidding me? I have class. Come on.
But yeah, no, I always had the long lockers. So I ended up having like a full locker to myself always, which always worked for me, because it's like, especially in high school, you had to hang your coat up in your locker.
Yeah.
So it's like, it made it a lot easier, especially the fact that I always wore like a trench coat or a duster, as it's normally called. So
you would have worn a trench coat in high school, man.
Dude, I own a trench coat still.
Yeah.
Not the original one I wore in high school, because the arm fell off on that one. But actually the proper name for the one that I wore in high school and that I actually wear today is actually called a duster.
A duster.
Even though it's a trench coat and it's the length of a trench coat, it's actually a duster because of the style that it's done in.
Yeah. I think those are mainly used, like, those are mainly more of a cowboy thing.
Yes, they are, actually. Yes, they are, actually.
Yeah.
And
can we just agree, by the way, his Bulk pulls out this can of like petrified worms, and he's like, "Yep, time to go fishing." I'm like, "That is disgusting. That is really disgusting." So Billy and Kim obviously decline to go scuba diving, which means that they're getting split up like right off the get-go, which means that that's kind of what you can expect to see in terms of the ranger fights later on. Rita, overhearing that Billy doesn't like the fish, obviously uses this as an opportunity to unleash a scoo monster. And I have to wonder, it's like, why doesn't she use these kind of powers more? Like, why doesn't she just like, oh yeah, okay, he doesn't like fish, I'm just going to amplify that. And, you know, and as we got later on into these episodes, I was like, oh, okay, she actually is starting to smarten up and use these kind of powers more against the Rangers. But up until now, it's like, yeah, that's actually a really smart villain move, like play on your fears. So I can't believe though that his fear of fish goes so far that he refuses to have fish and chips at that picnic. That's you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you. Keep going, bud.
Okay, cool. Just making sure. His fear of fish is to the point that, yeah, Kimberly offers him fish and chips, which who brings fish and chips to a picnic is beyond me, but the fact also that he's afraid of eating fish, that's a little far-fetched to me.
Wait, when they were like, oh, yeah, I'm afraid of fish, it's dead, eat it. Like, seriously, Billy, it's dead, eat it.
How better to conquer your fears than to eat the thing that you're afraid of? It's like,
I'm afraid of this thing. I'm going to eat it.
Yeah. And the whole thing about him being afraid of fish because a fish bit him on the finger as a kid was kind of dumb.
You want to know something? Here's something really funny. Did you know that crickets actually can bite you?
Crickets?
Yes. Really? Yes. So on the back of my neck, there's a little bump that ended up being where they did my neck surgery back in high school. And that's actually where I got bit by a cricket.
Really?
Yeah, because I vividly remember I felt like a pinch on the back of my neck. And my grandmother grabbed it and like chucked the cricket out of the car.
Wow.
Yeah, just be careful those New Jersey crickets, you know, I'm just saying. Just like how Billy but just like how Billy needs to be careful of those Angel Grove fish.
Angel Grove fish, them's the bitiest. As we progress through the episode, and like I was trying to remember, by the way, about the goofish. Because it's been a while since I've like sat down and rewatched these episodes. I was like, the goofish, that sounds kind of familiar. And the second that I saw it, I remembered, oh yeah, that was one of the evil space aliens that were released as an action figure. And it's selling on eBay right now for a total of like $5. So obviously very valuable. The goofish has just, you know, maintained its value throughout the years.
What Hasbro needs to do is instead, like with the Lightning collection, I know they're doing like Rita and Lord Zedd together and they're doing the putties. They need to do like some of the monsters. Like, forget about, like, take some of the most memorable monsters like King Sphinx and Goofish and Pudgy Pig.
And the eyeball.
Dude. Yeah. And that plant that ate the Rangers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, the ranger wannabe monster that could change into like the other rangers. It's like, you should do that. Like,
I agree.
Do a Lightning collection of just classic MMPR monsters.
I have a feeling that sometime, maybe not this year, obviously not this year for San Diego Comic Con, but maybe next year for San Diego Comic Con.
Well, obviously not this year because they canceled it.
Well, yeah, obviously. But, I figure maybe next year it would be really cool to get like a 10-pack of like the most famous Mighty Morphin monsters. And I know it would probably be ridiculously expensive, but also it's San Diego Comic-Con. You can justify the price on that.
I would 100% be okay with a Scorpina Lightning collection figure.
Yes. One where it's her in human form, and then one where she's obviously
in monster,
monster form. That'd be cool. I'd love that too, and it would go really great with my Goldar figure.
Yeah. So back to notes.
Yes. So let's see here. Just trying to. I've got a headache. Sorry. So
it's okay. It's okay. I work all day. Come home, take a quick walk, and then record, and then edit, and then eventually eat at like 11 o'clock at night. So I'm right there with you. Okay.
Readers, okay. There was a little funny of there was a little bit of funny dialogue here that I wrote down. Rita says, "So Goldar, what's up next for our goofish?" Goldar says, "I've ordered him to drop the Megazord and then use his goo to destroy it." And I'm sure 6-year-old me was like, "Oh no!" And 32-year-old me was just like,
what?
"Okay." And so we're progressing through the episode, we find out that Billy has to conquer his fears, obviously, in order to beat the monster. And how does he have to conquer his fear? By conquering his fear.
By just going, "I can do the thing. The tiny fear believes in me."
He just has to get over it, apparently. I'm like, okay, cool. That's super helpful, guys. Thank you. Billy and Kim tell Jason, Trini, and Zach to attack the fish and that they'll take on the putties. And then in that scene, they're all just fighting the putties anyways. So
cool. What's the point?
What's the point? By the way, the Blue Ranger suit actor, I'm watching that footage and I'm fairly certain that a wasp was about to sting him on the ding dong. there was a wasp, and it's nothing to do with the actual episode of the script. There was literally just this giant wasp that was flying around and just like about to land on his crotch, and I was like, "Oh, that's gotta suck," because I know you can't see out of those helmets or anything. So I hope that there was some guy off screen going like, "Hey, get out of here." So I wrote down here, this episode really shows how the ZO2 footage is, while it's Japanese footage, catered towards MMPR. I'm fairly certain that the Blue Zero Ranger never acted, not only this fearful, but also timid and whatnot in Zero Ranger. Obviously, that was Dan, and Dan was never like the nerdy type over there. And we are going to get some better examples in later episodes, but I'm fairly certain that this footage was being shot in Japan while either Die Ranger or Cocker Ranger were in production, which is just a really cool thought to me. Just to know that, like, we're getting all this new footage for Mighty Morphin while Die Ranger is going on overseas as well. I just think that that's, I don't know, I just think it's really cool. Like, they're filming all the Thunder Megazord stuff that we're going to see later on at the same time as we're getting all this stuff in the suit actors. So,
yeah.
I believe this was the first time that we heard Fight by Ron Wasserman, by the way. And it's an instrumental version. And then in one of the later episodes, we actually get the full, like, with lyrics and all that. But this is the first time that we hear.
Oh, trust me. I have it noted when we get new music.
Yeah. Good. So I honestly think that there was a pretty awesome Zord fight, but somehow combating the... Hold on. My handwriting is awful.
God, learn how to write, Brian. You're only like 32.
I've been using computers for the last 10 years, Michael. Let's see here. So this was kind of weird. I thought it was a pretty awesome Zord fight, but somehow... Combating the goo topping the Megazord. Oh, sorry. Somehow, okay, let me read this again. Sorry. My handwriting on this is bad. Pretty awesome Zord fight, but somehow converting the goo that's trapping the Megazord's feet into energy allows it to stand up again. How and why does this work?
Because it was that guy. It was Zach's idea, and that's why.
Okay. Anytime Zach has an idea, it just works out.
Yes.
I think that's a bad idea. Well, actually, I think it's a good idea. All right, you know what? That's a fantastic idea. Let's do it. So, those are all my notes on that one, really. I thought it was a cool episode. You know, I thought it was – I loved seeing ZU2 footage because it's really cool just to kind of, you know, see where they're getting notes from us and, like, hey, you know – this is how we want you to portray this character, like, just a little differently than, you know, the actual, you know, suit character did for ZU Ranger. So it's cool to see Japanese made footage that's catered specifically towards America. So I don't know, it's really cool. And I thought that the Goo Monster was kind of a cool character too. I might have to buy one on eBay and put it up here. So
yeah. So with something fishy, it clocked in at 20 minutes and 19 seconds and got a 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb. So with that, next up, we have Lions and Blizzards. And it's once again everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through of Lions and Blizzards. And we begin with the Oddball Games. And it's the Rangers with a few others versus Bulk, Skull, and Angela and a few others. And it's now tug of war time, because what else would you do to break a tie? Rita spots the Lion Trophy and plots. And then, of course, now the tug of war is underway. And the Rangers win. Duh. And then Zach helps Angela up out of the mud. But oh no, the trophy is gone. And Bulk and Skull are the schmucks who stole it. Come on, guys. Jason and Kim get attacked by putties while searching for the trophy, and more new music. It's wonderful. Then Zach, Trini, and Billy encounter putties. Billy doesn't have that swagger like he did last episode when he was fighting the putties. Like, what happened, Billy? Where'd that swagger go? At the palace, Rita is casting a spell on the trophy, and the trophy turns into a monster and then attacks Bulk and Skull. At the juice bar, Angela appears and approaches Zach and asks him on a date. At the command center, Zordon needs Alpha to notify the Rangers. The Rangers teleport to the command center minus Zach. They are briefed about Gotan. Zach and Angela are at the movies, and Zach is striking out, just like a good Zach would. Others morph into action. Gotan and Kim go bow to bow, and Kim loses. Gotan really taking it to the Rangers. Back at the movies, Angela is cozying to Zach, but his communicator goes off and Zach morphs into action. And Zach is mad. Rita makes Gotan grow. Zach calls for the Zords. Once the Megazord is formed, it becomes frozen by Gotan. And Gotan has a hockey stick. It's just there. It's randomly there. But he has a hockey stick. And I'm okay with this. It doesn't matter, though, because he also lost. At the command center, Zordon confirms the trophy has been destroyed. Zach rushes back to the movie, and Angela dumps the popcorn on Zach's head and leaves. At the juice bar, Bulk and Skull get brought in by a cop for identification. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Lions and Blizzards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, obviously, this is Season 1, Episode 44. This episode first aired February 10th, 1994. It was written by Shel Danielson and directed by Robert Hughes. Now, this is the first time in the season or in the series that Angela actually returns Zach's affections. Obviously, asking him out to movie. I was trying to figure out what movie it was, but it's probably just a whole lot of nothing. Which won an Oscar that year, I think. The monster Gotan is described as half goat and half lion by Rita and Zordon, but the snake tail suggests that it's based on a chimera, and there's dialogue between Alpha 5 and Zach that later confirms this. Now, this is the first time that a ranger other than Jason calls for the power sword, and Zach Nelly calls for it but says, we need dinosaur power now. This is a big episode.
Because Zach is pissed. Dude has been chasing Angela all season. He finally gets his date. Monster
happens. So I'm not certain what the reliability of this note was, but it says here that this marks the last episode to use new Zero Ranger monster footage. Not that it's the last episode to use ZO2 footage, but it's the last time that we get a new monster that was made for the American show. And yes, like you said, this is the first time that we hear the full version of Fight by Ron Wasserman. Again, one of my favorites. I think that and Zords are probably my two favorites, and also Five for One. This is one of the only times in the show that a monster is created from an item that is not restored later on. The trophy is just destroyed after that, and you know, big whoop, no loss. And there is footage from Zero Ranger on this one, which is actually also episode 44 over there, called Swordsman, Japan's Best, and they use fight footage for that. But not obviously the Gotan footage. It's just fight footage with the Rangers. Going a little more into detail here, we start off at the oddball games, and Bulk is up against Jason in a football tire drill, and Bulk takes a pratfall face first, which, as I've been watching the show, I've been rewatching it, I have to wonder, did he ever, like, wrestle or take any kind of, like, martial art or something? Because he takes these bumps so, like, crazily good, and that's, I have to wonder if he's, like, I think he did take some kind of martial art or something. But he face plants so fantastically in this episode. So Principal Kaplan says that the red team wins, but then he says that there's a tie, and then they have to do a tiebreaker. And I'm like, well, the way that you just phrased that was weird, but okay, cool. Let's go into a tiebreaker.
What? No way. Wow. I don't believe that. Paul Schreier, Bulk, turned 50 years old on June 1st.
Oh, wow.
That man does not look 50. He looks so much younger. But anyways, go on. I'm actually looking for stuff to see what else he might have done that for his bumps.
Cool, cool, cool. So again, there's a literal Rita, of course, sees this trophy that's presented for, you know, the winner, and she says she has an idea, and Golder just spews from the mouth about Gotan, the new lion-headed, goat-chested monster that's going to shoot lightning out of the... Yeah, okay. By the way, they don't explain until later on that this thing can actually, like, control the weather. And I was like, I'm very surprised by that. I thought he was going to do something a little different. Let's see here. So everybody gets messy, and then the trophy goes missing thanks to Bulk. Billy then says, this is a decidedly large expanse to cover. And I audibly said, nerd. Just say, wow, this is kind of a large area, man. Billy, Trini, and Zach wind up at a park, and I swear this has got to be the same park that they took the promo image for the MMPR Game Gear game and poster for. There's a poster where they're on this kind of weird triangle jungle gym thing, and I actually have the Mighty Morphin game right here, and you can barely see it, but I swear that's got to be the same park that they went to, because I know that they reused locations, and I know for a fact that in this image, on that same park, that's actually Jason Ybarra in the Red Ranger suit. So,
our good friend Jason.
I was like, that's really cool, man, and it just made me think of him. I was like, yeah, I should bring that up.
And the reason we say our friend Jason is because we actually got to hang out with Jason Ybarra in 2016 at Power Morphicon. Remember the breakfast? Brian is thinking so hard. He doesn't remember us having breakfast with Jason.
Oh, Ybarra. No. I remember. My computer just froze so bad. But yeah, I remember having breakfast with him, and I think Chris Cantata was there too.
Yep. Somebody else that we hung out with was Shahida Vargas Jr. from Ninja Storm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because remember we were talking hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a hockey fan, so I was like, we were talking hockey. It was cool. But anyways, going back to notes about Lions and Blizzards.
Okay. Trini throws a putty up the slide, and so while they're fighting on this jungle gym, Trini throws a putty up the slide, which is obviously what is that being played in reverse. But even the putty, like once he goes up there, even he's just kind of like, what? He makes this like, he's just kind of like, I guess this is happening face.
Like, come on. We as kids always tried to slide up the slide. It never worked.
Nope. He's like, I can't. I guess the putty's more like, I can't believe that actually hurt. The dream came true. There's a point where Billy is like trying to evade attacks, and he kind of does a back arch, and he's like climbing down the thing with his hands. And I was like, oh man, David Yost, he had to have splinters just all up and down his hands on that thing once he was done. And I just cringed so bad. Later on in the episode, obviously Goten is, you know, running amok, and he can control the weather. And all of a sudden, you hear some words that I have never heard ever in California. Hey, we need to take shelter. There's a tornado watch. I don't think I've ever heard of there ever being a tornado watch. Not a warning, just a watch in Southern California. Maybe up in Northern California, sure, but like, do they even happen there?
Have you ever seen the movie Day After Tomorrow?
Yes.
That's the only legitimate time probably whenever a tornado will ever hit California.
Yeah. That or 2012?
That movie doesn't count. Fair. Day After Tomorrow is a much better movie.
I agree. I 110% agree. I'm just saying, every day that we were there, it was, you know, balmy and sunny without a single cloud in the sky. And I'm like, I can't imagine a tornado.
No. We saw one cloud. We saw this little tiny cloud.
And it just kind of pooped away.
Yeah.
It literally just like, it wasn't strong enough. It wasn't strong enough for this world.
Or at least California.
Later on in the episode, obviously, when Zach is on his date with Angela, Zordon and Alpha try and contact Zach. And Zach just, like you said, he's getting shut down so bad. He does the whole arm stretch thing and, you know, being like, oh, man, it's cold in here. And she's like, it isn't that cold.
Ouch.
Which I was like, are you kidding me? No, it's ice cold in here, Angela. What are you talking about? Dang.
And you know who's ice cold? It's you, lady.
You.
It's you.
You're the source of all this coldness. Oh man, I felt so bad for him. So Goten has two voices, by the way, if you didn't notice. He's got a normal monster voice, and then he's got this weird goat voice. And I don't even want to know what the ramifications are. I don't want to know what the ramifications are of that, where, like, are there two brains working as one or something?
I've always taken it that way because it's a lion and a goat.
Yeah. So. And that's gotta be expensive when, like, they go to a restaurant or something. Like, all right, well, I want this one, but I want this one. The Megazord becomes a pop. Huh? Sorry.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, we see another freak thing that happens in this episode. There's snow in Southern California, and the Megazord becomes a popsicle. Because these are just two things that just never happen in California, snow or tornadoes. I'm sorry. You get landslides and fires, and that's about it. But I can't imagine there being that much snow in California.
Actually, Northern California does get snow.
Well, yeah. I meant more like Southern, like we're talking like Los Angeles and Pasadena and San Diego and all that. I mean, that's just, that's a desert down there, man. So once everything's done and, you know, Zach is just like, I'm done with this and, you know, they destroy the monster. He goes back with not just one, but two bucks of popcorn. And Angela just straight up dumps the popcorn on his head and leaves. And I'm like, one, I can't believe the movie was still going. And two, that's a long movie. Either that or they were just starting the movie, in which case that just makes it worse. And then two, it's like, he just spent so much money on popcorn. And she just goes, bye, Felicia. And it's like...
Three... He, that poor person at the movie theater who has to clean up the popcorn now too.
They don't get paid enough for that.
Poor popcorn guy, or that poor movie theater attendant.
So I have a question for you about the ending of this episode.
No.
Actually, I have three. Why are Bulk and Skull muddy again? Why is there a cop and why did they need to be confirmed who they were? Like, what?
So, at what point... okay, answer number one, they're muddy because they're in the lake. And the lake was muddy in the shallow end. A cop probably pulled him out of the lake and brought him to the youth center for identification. And they're really just the lost monsters from the Blue Lagoon. So there you go.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then. And so, yeah, that episode was okay. It was good. I liked it. It was not my favorite, but I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
It's a good.
All right. So Lions and Blizzards clocked in at 19 minutes, 41 seconds with a 6.9 rating on IMDb. So with that was Something Fishy and Lions and Blizzards. And so with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek, where I post updates on the show that I do, which is also called One Drunk Geek, where I've worked on the 100 craft beers that you need to try before you die. I'm also on castwavestudios.com. You can see me on BGN Weekly. We've done many episodes over the past 10 years, so please give that a look. And yeah, you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. I post photos and stuff and, you know, cosplay stuff, so.
All right, and you can follow me on the Twitters at TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, and of course, everything for me is on the website at TXHTHockey.com, and for the show specifically, which is VFTG, which is the call letters for Voices from the Grid. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
So until next time, grab your morphers.
And may the power protect you.